The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 14 through 23. Allow me to read. From Perga they went into Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Amen. There is a story that shows that French people think the most important in their lives. The story tells us that the most intelligent French becomes an artist, the second most becomes a teacher or a professor. The third becomes a businessman, and the fourth becomes a bureaucrat. Then, who does politics in France? According to French people, gangsters do politics. Of course, it must be a joke, but it means that politicians are not trusted at all in France, like in Korea. How much creativity is based on a job is the yardstick for the French to respect the job. They respect artists the most because they are considered the most creative. They respect them best because they think the creativity of literatures, painters, and musicians makes their lives affluent and as a result raises the quality of their lives. It is not incidental that Paris became the center of the art in the world. It was naturally done by the French perspective that respects creative artists best. And French respect, in order, educators, businessmen, and bureaucrats next to artists because the degree of their creativity is also considered in that order. In a word, the most important thing in life for French people is creativity. It is no wonder that their creativity begot their unique history, tradition, and culture. The importance of creativity, however, is not exclusive to French people. It is also important to anybody in the world. We can say French people are wise because they recognize its importance earlier and foster the social atmosphere that appreciates creativity earlier than other countries. Then in our life, why is the creativity important? Is it for us to be artists or educators? Creativity is important because you only can live your life with creativity. If you're not equipped with creativity, you will be foolish enough to waste your own lives in copying others. This is the last lesson we can learn in today's scriptures. We have looked for 6 weeks. Last time, through the first part of Paul's sermon at Pisidian Antioch, we had a chance to contemplate that God, the owner of the man's history, fulfilled his words undoubtedly. God is the Word. God exists as the Word and talks with the Word. So we follow His Word and give our lives for it to ask Him to eternally take care of our whole lives. And it is also the reason that we can't neglect His Word. That's why I do orderly sermon. Orderly sermon is the phrase that I made up. It means literally preaching the Bible following its order. Explanatory sermon also follows the order, but there is a difference. Explanatory sermon usually is prepared based on chapter by chapter, while orderly sermon is based on verse by verse. Thus, many years are needed to preach a whole book in the Bible. Nevertheless, I keep doing this for 20 years because of one reason. A year has only 52 weeks, so it is impossible for a pastor to preach all 66 books of the Bible in depth, even if he or she does the ministry at a church for their entire life. Those who attend all services on Sundays, Wednesdays, early mornings, and Bible study are exceptions, but most of church members who attend Sunday services only hear sermons on the verses pastors would like to preach or to intend. In that way, it is almost impossible for them to have right understanding on the whole Bible, the Word of God. Therefore, orderly sermon is intended for looking at the whole Bible through each verse in depth every Sunday and taking it as a pair of glasses to see this world during a week. The Bible is interwoven like a web from Genesis to Revelations. And each verse is the mysterious window through which we can see the whole Bible. As same scenery looks different depending on the shapes and the color of the window, you can understand the whole Bible multidimensionally if there are a variety of windows. seeking the way to make you understand the depth of each verse through which you can see the width of the whole Bible. Every Sunday, I preach sermon orderly to show the right way to make you walk during a week by taking the verse as a pair of glasses to see the world. For instance, it is just the same as last Thursday's lecture delivered by Mr. Lee Eo-ryang. Mother, sister, let's live at the riverside. In the front yard, the sand is glittering in a golden color. Outside the back door, reeds are singing. The poem of the renowned poet Kim So-woo. This poem is extremely short poem. However, on that day, we could realize the real meaning of the poem. And by thinking this poem in depth, we had an opportunity to ponder upon ourselves, our lives, and our faith. If you wear this poem as a glass and walk to the world, maybe we could discreet the right and wrong when living our lives. Therefore, what you need is not just hearing the sermon, but widening the understanding about the whole Bible through the verse, the window every week. Then you're able to follow His word that guides you in the world for a week. It is giving your life for His word. If you do so, His word would protect you. Let's look at verse 23 to find out what God's word says to us today. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as He promised. As God promised, He sent the Savior through the lineage of David. He was Jesus Christ. He was Emmanuel, the Son of God. He came to be with us. The Son of God came to this world through the incarnation. He didn't fall on the earth from the sky in the form that people couldn't recognize. God already told people 700 years before Jesus came through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. His word was achieved through the Virgin Mary of Nazareth. The Virgin Mary gave a birth to Jesus, Emmanuel, conceived by the Holy Spirit. It means that Jesus came through a human body, but He was not really on the lineage of humans, born sinners. If He had really been on the lineage of humans, He wouldn't have been able to be out of the confinement of sins and death as a born sinner like us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus personally experienced joy, anger, sorrow, and pleasure of human beings as he came down in human form. Nevertheless, he was not born of human blood, thus was able to understand our situation, help wholly, and become a sound sacrifice for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The above verse mentioned Adam, the first man. As we have learned in the New Believers class, all drinks from a liquor factory are alcohol. The only difference would be the alcohol content and price of each bottle. There is no way that perfume with the fragrance would be produced from a liquor factory. Adam took the forbidden fruit and became a sinner. Because of the crime, for disobeying God's words, we fundamentally became a factory of sin. Therefore, all human beings descended from Adam became sinners produced at the factory of sin from birth. The only difference would be a moral sinner, an immoral sinner, a sinner under the current jurisdiction, a sinner not. An intellectual sinner, an ignorant sinner, a rich sinner and a poor sinner, a young sinner and an old sinner. All human beings are sinners produced at the factory of sin from birth. Without an exception, the price we have to pay for our sins in death, and we all deserve to die. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Because one person obeyed God, many people became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. As Adam became a factory of sin by disobeying the words of God, making all people sinners worthy of death, Jesus obeyed the words of God and became a sacrifice, making it possible for all to become the children of God. Jesus substituted us and paid our price of sin by dying on the cross. And this enabled the factory of sin to become the factory of eternal life. Therefore, anyone who believed in Jesus Christ and reside in the eternal factory of life are reborn as children of God and forgiven of our sins. The love of God that saves all despite our sins and the righteousness of God that punishes all sinners with death were completed simultaneously on the cross of Jesus. When Jesus was put on the cross in the place of human beings, such was not an idea of human beings. Emmanuel God, coming down to earth through the body of Virgin Mary, helping human fully by experiencing joy, anger, sorrow, and pleasure, knowing our deepest thoughts, completing the love to deliver us from sins and the righteousness of taking the blame for our sins would not have been possible if it were not for the creative, original God. Therefore, it was a great drama of deliverance to have Emmanuel God come down to earth as Jesus, as a human being, made possible from God's creativity and originality. People cannot even copy his creativity. Come to think of it, we come across the creativity of God throughout the whole story of the Bible. God created the universe with his words. He created man in his image and gave the breath of life. God did not make his loving Israelites spoiled by having them live in elegant castles, but strengthened them by having them start off as slaves in Egypt, training them into the strongest people on earth. He opened up the Red Sea, provided them with manna from the sky when they were passing through the Sinai Desert, barren without water or plants. The scorching sun during the day was blocked by the pillar of clouds, and the coldness of the night was blocked by the pillar of flames. All such things were beyond the imagination of humankind and only possible through the creativity of God. The Bible from Genesis to Revelations is full of God's creativity. It is because the word of the Bible is the word of the original God. God possesses creativity beyond reach, and thus Jehovah God is the one and only God. If we can confirm the originality of God through God's words, the Bible, we learn a precious lesson. The original and creative God did not create us without purpose. the creative God created each one of us according to his creativity and endowed each one of us with his creativity. Even a great artist needs a model because there is a limit on drawing a human face just from imagination. However, the 6 billion people on Earth all look different. Even twins have subtle differences. It would not be possible if it were not for God's creativity. God's creativity does not stop in our different looks. God's creativity is embedded in our personalities and characters. Each one of us are an individual original artwork of God, shaped according to God's creativity. Therefore, if you are a Christian saved in an original way through God's love and righteousness perfected by putting his only son Jesus on the cross, you should be living an original life in the Lord, not envying or imitating others' lives. The old shepherd in the Midian desert, Moses, was an old man in his 80s. All that had possessed had belonged to his father-in-law, and his only possession was his lean staff used to shepherd the sheep. But God ordered Moses, the old man with no possessions, to free the Israelites from slave in Egypt. Moses does not ask for an army to suppress the Egyptians, the greatest empire at the time. Nor did he ask for state-of-art weaponry. Rather, he obeyed the words of God and headed for Egypt with his sole possession, lean staff. Moses was a creative man who did not imitate others. And that is when his lean staff became the staff of God. God then began to act through the dry staff of God. When Moses held out his staff, the Red Sea opened up. When it struck down on the rock, a river began to flow. When he threw his life into the life God wanted for him, as told, God was with him. If Moses had imitated the life of others, this was an original event that would not have been possible otherwise. For all the generals of Israel were overwhelmed and lost their will to fight facing the power of Goliath, the giant of Philistine, who invaded Israel. Israel was about to be defeated. Then young David stepped up to fight Goliath. Without alternatives, King Saul with no had David to put on the king's armor, helmet, and sword. Being without armor, helmet, and weapon in battle is like to offer King Saul's head to his enemy. If it were the king's armor, helmet, and sword, they must have been the best of the best in all Israel. David, however, refused them after trying the king's armor, helmet, and sword. They did not fit David, and he could not handle them well, since he never tried them before. He wore as he wore, and fell the giant Goliath with a sling stone, which he used to drive out wild beasts when herding his sheep. David was a young man with unique idea who did not imitate other people's. If he tried to imitate King Saul, taking the king's armor, helmet, and sword, his head was thrown away at a swing of Goliath's sword. It was not strange at all that God used the unique life of David as his creative channel, who never envied the king's armor, helmet, and weapon, and willingly lived his creative life. In the Bible, a lot of people appeared as the tool of God. Among them, there were the high class and the low class, the intellectual and the illiterate, the rich and the poor, and the old and the young, and the urbanite and the local. Their lives and the situations were different, yet they shared one thing in common. Without an exception, none of them envied or imitated other people's life. All of them were original and faithful to their lives. The reason was simple. It is that creative God created each and every one of them as original individual and faith is to live our own life with the creativity that God gave us without imitating other people's life. With his creativeness, to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross for man, Trinity God simultaneously completed his love to save sinners on the cross and his righteousness to punish all the sinners for certain. And by doing so, he gave us the original salvation that no one can imitate. Each and every one of us was created with God's originality and received the grace of his creative salvation. Each and every one of us is original and creative. Therefore, faith to us is to be the creative channel of God and achieve his unique will for us in the history of our time through living a unique life in pursuit of God's words and threw ourselves without imitating others' lives under any circumstances. However, how about our lives? Don't we envy other people for no reason and neglect our own lives trying to live other people's lives? Even though good parents help their children to lead their own lives, don't we jam our children's character into the frame of our selfishness? If we are so, let us all repent our foolishness on the fourth Sunday of Lent, the season of repentance. It is a shortcut to running our lives, just as Moses tries to fight Egypt with army and David confronts the giant Goliath with King Saul's armor, helmet, and sword put on. Like 80-year-old Moses who moved toward Egypt, holding just a dry rod, and like David who were as he were and fought Goliath with a sling stone, let us all be faithful to our lives with all our hearts. Even if we have just a dry rod in our hands, it'll be the rod of God. A small sling stone in our hands will be the tool of God that will take the giant Goliath down at a swing. It is because we are created by God in a creative way, and the creative children who receive the creative salvation of the original God. Let us pray. With God's uniqueness, you created each and every one of us as creative individual. Each one of us is the original creature who is one and only in the world and is not like anybody else in the world. Trinity God gave yourself as sacrifice on the cross and completed your righteousness to punish all the sinners without exception, and at the same time, your love to save the sinners. We are the creative children of yours who received such creative salvation. However, we have not tried to live our lives with our own originality. We have envied other people's lives for no reason, went after their lives, and wasted our lives. Far from not helping our children to live their lives, we pushed our children to be like other people's ones and jammed even our children's character into the frame of our selfishness. On the fourth Sunday of the Lent, the season of repentance, we repent our foolishness. Please forgive us. Please help us not to forget that faith is to follow your words, live our lives with our own creativity, and be your creative tool. Please help us to model after the creative Moses, who moved toward Egypt to live his own life, holding only a dry rod in his hand. Please help us to be like the creative David, who confronted the giant Goliath. He did not envy the king's armor, helmet, and sword. He wore as he were for herding sheep and held a small sling stone in his hand when he fought the Goliath. Regardless of social and economic status and intellectual health and age differences, please help us to lead the creative life that you want us to live, following your words and not trying to be other people under the given circumstances. Therefore, please help us to be used as your unique tool, achieve your will in the history of our times, and enjoy your absolute joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.